Hello, my friends. This is us in. I didn't want to say Thousand Oaks. Are we in Thousand Oaks?
Yes, we are. We are.
It's only taken me 7 months to figure out where we're at. Or actually, I apparently don't. Well, because I wasn't sure where we were.
And actually, you're thinking of all these things you wanted to visit as we're leaving.
I know. We're very close to the Ronald Reagan Library. Yes. And I'm thinking I had to drive past it today because there was a lot of traffic coming through LA. So it took me in a roundabout way. And I passed the exit for the Ronald Reagan Library. And I think, that's just right down the street. But yet, it's closed.
It's closed.
Gosh, the Nixon Library, I think, is open.
Yeah, well.
Tricky Dick doesn't mind his library being open.
I think it depends on what kind of people are running the place, right?
So crazy. And it's so crazy to see empty shelves and all your boxes.
Everywhere, boxes everywhere.
I love it. It means something's happening.
Yes.
God is shaking some stuff up.
Shook this tree bare.
Awesome. All right. Go to livingthefearlessdevotional.com. That'll take you to Apple Podcasts where you will find the the audio version of our podcast, and make sure and give it 5 stars and tell everybody how great you think God is moving in our devotional. We've had some pretty cool stuff happen in this.
Absolutely.
Devotional. I'm really interested as we are looking at the end of living in separate cities.
Dun, da, da, da.
I'm just wondering what's next. I mean, we've had the good fortune of a lot of good positive things happening.
Yes.
And we're being told by God that even more is going to be happening.
Amen.
Positive is going to be happening.
Positive.
Yeah.
Positive. Stay positive, folks.
Hey, Priscilla, nice to see you. Oh, yes.
So nice you could join us.
Well, maybe we have to change it to the evening hours for Priscilla.
I kind of think we get it's a better time, but I don't know. This midday is kind of weird. But
it is weird. It's like late. It's like late for the message to have an impact on the day.
It's true.
So, all right. So let's get rid of this and let's get rid of this. And we were, oh, man.
You look empty.
I'm not. Everything's throwing me off. Where is the devotional? Hold on. I'm going to bring it up right here. Stand by 1 second. I'm going to have them change that it does that to me. Here we go.
Ooh, look at that. Technicolor.
Yeah, let me. This is going to be necessary so we can see it. There we go. All right. So this is a beautiful picture. Number one, it's for May 6th. My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And the title is Liberty and the Standards of Jesus. The reference is Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. A spiritually minded person will never come to you with the demand, believe this and that. A spiritually minded person will demand that you align your life with the standards of Jesus. We are not asked to believe the Bible, but to believe the one whom the Bible reveals. We are called to present liberty for the conscience of others, not to bring them liberty for their thoughts and opinions. And if we ourselves are free with the liberty of Christ, others will be brought into the same liberty, the liberty that comes from realizing the absolute control and authority of Jesus Christ. Always measure your life solely by the standards of Jesus. Submit yourself to his yoke and his alone, and always be careful never to place a yoke on others that is not of Jesus Christ. It takes God a long time to get us to stop thinking that unless everyone sees things exactly as we do, they must be wrong. That is never God's view. There is only one true liberty, the liberty of Jesus at work in our conscience, enabling us to do what is right. Don't get impatient with others. Remember how God dealt with you, with patience and with gentleness, but never water down the truth of God. Let it have its way and never apologize for it. Jesus said, go and make disciples, not make converts to your own thoughts and opinions. Wow. That it helped to read it again. And it helped to have your direction. In reading it the second time, so much better. I think that we need to talk about that first paragraph with all those liberties in there.
But let's do it.
So since you did a far better job of figuring it out than I did, can you help unpack all the liberties?
Okay. So, hi, Robert. Okay, sorry, I'm going to pull it up again. So deep breath. Okay, liberty, true freedom in Christ is not a liberty only from addictions, which he says that, you know, you should, a spiritual, Christ has set us free so that we should be free from the chokehold of sins and addictions, because the Holy Spirit living in us should help give us the strength to overcome those. But the liberty that I believe Oswald's referring to is the liberty to hand absolute control over to Christ. So he's basically telling people, you're not supposed to put a bunch of demands on them that, okay, now you accept Jesus Christ, this is what you got to do. Nor are you supposed to give them the liberty to think whatever they want and make up what Jesus Christ is going to do in their life.
Right.
You're basically supposed to exhibit the liberty of having ceded control to Christ and let others be motivated by that. And that we always preach the truth of finding true liberty in Christ and allow people to go through their own walk and not to get dogmatic and shove things down their throat or to be unforgiving and stubborn or forceful, that we have to allow God to work in someone's life, but constantly trying to draw them close to, hey, you know, you can overcome these battles and this stress that you're living by just ceding control over to Jesus Christ.
So it's like liberty from tyranny, and we're the tyrants.
You said it. You said it. There you go.
Oh, wow.
We are the tyrants.
Yes.
So me, the primo tyrant of all. There it is right there.
April, I did say
my fellow OCD type A, April. And Priscilla, I think you've mentioned that's you too, that like, that's what the freedom ultimately is. It's just, Lord, I lay this burden at your feet and I just beg you to walk me through it and give me patience and joy in adversity and trials and take me where you want me to go. And it's a balance, because it's not a laziness. It can't be. It's not like a sit on your couch and expect the sky to fall and angels to descend your sustenance, but it's just not stressing about it. It's not easy.
We got some stressors that are happening right now.
We got a lot of stressors.
We got a lot of stuff going on. I know that we don't necessarily often talk about those things, but can I ask you this then?
Yes.
All right. So if you could go back to the old tyrant, Tyrant Hedia.
Yesterday? Yes.
With everything that's happening and everything that you can see going to happen, like the new life.
Yes.
Right? Husband and wife with six kids.
Not one, not two.
Six. Yes. How does this person differ from that person? How does everything that we've been doing, the worshiping, the daily devotionals, the prayer, how has that helped you be a different person? If it is, if you are, how would it look different?
A couple of things. I am truly blessed to have gotten in the habit of talking to Jesus all the time. So I am constantly. So when I get frustrated, I say to him, I'm like, Lord, I've got to calm down. Help me, like, just calm me down. And just, you know, like, I have a conversation with him in my head. When I start to get anxious, and sometimes I hear a response, like, for example, with you, if I get cranky or short-tempered or I say something inappropriate, again, he's just like, apologize for that. Don't get that way. You don't have to be like that. You know, like, and it's just, it's a constant dialogue between me and him of just breathe, just calm down, you know? And sometimes he catches me before I do it, but oftentimes he's catching me after.
Yeah.
And without it, I would just be a tyrant. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love you.
Aww. I hope you notice that I try, because I try to catch it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I see it appear every so often. I think I might have saw a little bit at the gas station for a second when you were talking to somebody. Like, there was a little bit, like, you get really, like, upright. You get taller. You get taller. It's so funny.
Not to mention that and, eyes, the look you see in my eyes.
And then it goes away. So I only see it these, like, little brief spurts of it. But you have a, I mean, it's pretty fun to see. But I don't... I'm having trouble with mine, with my tyrant. My tyrant gives me a stomach ache and gives me diarrhea.
You got to talk really to bad. Jesus.
I know.
You have to talk to him.
Because I internalize it. Mine doesn't come out usually. And I know the voice you would think would come out. It's usually the opposite. The more that I'm stressed, the more that something causes me. I mean, I clam up and I internalize it. And then it comes out in the form of like a really bad gastrointestinal issue.
For days.
It's bad. Oh. I know you guys don't want to. It's dinner time. I'm sharing with you what happens. But yeah, it's like, you know, all the noises. And then, I mean, not, you know.
Oh.
So I want you have good control. I mean, even though it comes out every so often.
It's the Lord. Bit. It's the Lord.
I mean, you have amazing control. You can bounce back pretty good now.
Yeah, it's well, see, because before I would just, that was my modus operandi. I was just like that.
Yeah.
Until I got tired, until I was exhausted. And be like, oh, this tyrant is so exhausting. But now I don't like the tyrant.
Mm.
And Jesus doesn't like the tyrant. So
I don't like my tyrant either.
Right.
I spent a lot of time in the bathroom. A lot of those booty wipes. You go through a whole package of booty wipes. That's right. So let's help Priscilla here. We're going to pray for her at the end. So let's not forget that we know that she's going through some transition with her job, I think is what's happening there. Deborah's on. Hello, Deborah. Beautiful people. She's talking to us. She's obviously just talking to you.
No.
And hey, kids. Oh, we're kids.
Yes. Look at that.
I was so happy to see it was, it comes out. I was so happy to see that it's George Clooney's birthday and he's 60 years old. He's older than I am.
Oh,
I love that he's nice. Older. I didn't know he was that much older than I. I mean, just
that
so much? Yeah, so much older.
Was this like 6 months? 3 months? But you look much
What are you better. Trying to? What, you're tired.
There you go. No pun intended, apparently. Okay.
So the liberty, I want to get back to liberty. I mean, and I said before we went on, I go, that's so hard to be liberated because it's so easy to go back. At least the colonists, you know, they had the entire Atlantic Ocean, but then, you know, the British came over and bugged us for a little while. Then we had to chase them off.
Right.
But at least they had that. It's like my tyrant is like still there. Like I've been trying to bury him, but he's like still, he's so close.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I'll tell you though, when I first started this process, I kept trying to do it in my own strength. And my mentor kept telling me, stop telling yourself you are going to do better. You have to keep praying for him to make you better.
Mm.
So it's a habit to talk to Jesus and to say, I need help. Please send your grace, send your mercy, send your love. Help me through this. Because it's only his Holy Spirit within us that makes it easier. He will continue to antagonize us, to allow us to be antagonized until we surrender. That's what we have to give up, absolute control. Mm-hmm. And so that's why Oswald says, don't try to give them liberty. Let them see the liberty in you, which is what you're saying you see.
Yes.
And I'm saying the liberty you see is not me. I am not a better person. Jesus is better than me. And but I am in communication with him. Like, I couldn't do it without him.
Thank you for showing me. Really, I mean, truly, I mean, I'm a very visual person. I have to see it in action. I mean, the hardest part about this whole walk was that And the only thing that really changed is when I saw Jesus Christ, right? I mean, I've been wandering around, banging my head off the walls, and
reading books, going to events.
Yeah. But I'm so grateful that he showed up, because that's kind of the person I am. But seeing you in action, I mean, only thing I say is this gas station. There's certain moments that I'm sitting there looking at you. And I mean, all of a sudden, this like grow so tall, like another foot, and you're just like. And the way you reached out for, do you remember the moment that you did it? You reached out for the, give me the keys. Do you not remember? And then all of a sudden you're back. Hi. What the heck happened right there? Jesus did it. All right. So I brought this out of the trash can. This is, we had communion before we went live, and you have these little containers. You got the bread, right? Yes. The cracker. And then we got the grape juice there in the little thing.
Yes.
We've never done this before. You brought them out and said we need to do communion. Where did that come from?
So I read this fabulous book on the power of communion, and I'd heard a number of pastors talk about the importance of taking communion whenever you feel connected, whenever you need to feel connected, because the verses about communion are not about doing it at a supper or in a group. It's about honoring the tradition. So you cannot, as Pastor Jack taught us, you cannot do it if you're not a believer. Mm. And it has to be sacred. So you have to do it in its sanctity. So in other words, you have to recite the communion prayer, a version of the communion prayer, and take it. But you could do it anytime. And I found at times when I was like really struggling, most of all with addictions, when I was conquering my addictions, and I was just like, Lord, I hand this to you. And there is nothing that'll get me through this but the blood of Christ. And I would take it and I would feel better.
Where can you get those?
Oh, Amazon.
Oh, really? Amazon. Ugh. You're using.
Come on now. Well, what can we do?
So at home, I was running around. I had to find an old bottle of sherry, from a wine that I had in the garage, and a piece of sourdough toast the other day. And that's the first time I've done
it.
That was before that. Remember, that's when you brought them to me. But that's the first time I've not done it in a church.
Really?
I got, I'm still a Catholic at heart. I can't shake it. Like I felt like it had to be done in a church. I can't do this in my living room. Yeah. Like, and then you go, let's do it. And you handed me this, we're doing communion. And that's not quite how you said it. But I go, can we do that here at your desk? Is that allowed? And
And I mean, that was the whole point of the liberation of the Protestant movement against the Catholics, is that there are no longer sacraments and a priesthood and a confession and a person you go to get a forgiveness of sins. We all are the righteousness of Christ. We are all the royal priesthood, and we all have the right and ability to do communion on our own. We don't need a priest to do it for us, and we don't need to be in a church to do it.
Wow. No.
That's what our founding fathers fought for.
Taught me something new. Priscilla just saying things are a little bit crazy right now. Well, we're with you.
I don't know. Is something in the air? I don't know what is going on, because a lot of people, my Facebook page seems to be filled with people being like, what is happening in the world right now?
That's because of my post?
Not just your post. Other than you, Amy, and Karen showing like yummy food things to eat.
I like to balance it out. A little bit like, poof, 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 and then here's some food.
Right?
Poof, poof, poof. Here's my son cutting open a dragon fruit. Can't tell you. I can't tell you what happened to the gas station.
Little frustrations. Yes.
I've been talking so much this week. Being stroke awareness, I'm stressed. My poor husband has been my tyrant more than usual. I've seen my tyrant.
Right. And I mean, especially when it comes to Andy, especially when the reason I'm not, and even when it is the reason, if he's the reason I'm upset, when he's not the reason, I always tell myself, like, the last thing in the world I want to do is take it out on him. Mm-hmm. Because he is my bastion of happiness and safety. And so even if I am upset, I was like, I would sit there and I'd be like, geez, I don't want to be upset. I hate being upset. I hate living in upset. Even for 5 minutes, even for 30 seconds, I can't stand.
I know, but sometimes I'm just like, you're worried about me coming over and seeing all these boxes. I go, when you don't think I know that you're moving? So
it wasn't literally the boxes. It was the frustration, the lack of control I have over my personality when I'm freaked out. Like, remember in the car, like, it took me the grace of God to stay calm as we were trying to run through what we're going to do Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And for you, it's like, you make a decision, just do it. But for me, I literally, paralysis through analysis, I have to map out every second. And I try to, and so meanwhile, I'm having a conversation in my head, stop mapping it all out. Just do what he says. And I'm like, but I can't, but just do it, but I can't, Jesus. So it's like, literally, the silliest, dumbest, like, is what should be simple is like there's a three-way Zoom call in my head.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm going, we'll go Wednesday. And you're going, but then we got, so I'm listening. I said, okay, then we'll do Thursday. I feel like such a simpleton.
What is the big deal?
So then we go, okay, back to Wednesday. Let's do Wednesday. What about the kids? I go, well, they're fine. It's just Wednesday, Tuesday, or Thursday.
I'm sorry, you guys. It sounds dumb, but it's my prison. My head is my prison, and so the whole discussion of this devotional being about liberty is me, because liberty is not just freedom from addictions. Liberty is not being a prisoner to old habits and the way you think things have to go. And if that's
my gosh. You remind me. So today, you don't know this, but I had we had this thing called Talking Parents, where I talked to my ex.
It's always fun. The messages that come through Talking Parents are usually the ones that
you should have seen. Bringing up the old tyrant. You and Hedia doing this God thing, and I just went on like, you need more than Jesus Christ. Like, just went on on. Oh yeah, it was pretty good.
Watching all the devotionals.
And, yeah, I know. I go, I have no idea even what you do. And, right? She's like two paragraphs. And I didn't even read it all. I got to bed. I said, because it just went on and on about.
When it gets nasty, you should just stop. Like
God and Jesus and
it's
you,
like me and the Christian Post. Comments.
Yeah.
I just scroll and I'm like, just stop. That's not going anywhere good.
So I was just like going,
Remember what Jack says.
I just turned
nobody's opinion matters but his.
Yeah. And I was going to respond. This is okay. I didn't mean to stop there. So in the end, the old guy. Would have read everything and had to come back for every word, every word. But instead, I did write just like, no, that you're just talking all that's. And I just said all that. I don't know where you copied and pasted all that stuff from. Is what I said. So it was a little dig. Because you couldn't have come up with all that stuff on your own. But that has nothing to do with the issues that I brought up. And, there are two main issues and have nothing to do with our devotional, have nothing to do with Jesus Christ or God. It had to do with very simple things like that. These two things still are in existence. I don't know what all that the two paragraphs had to do with anything. The beauty, I guess I do have a little liberty now. My whole point, and I'm so sorry, my whole point is. I have a little bit of liberty.
That normally would have set you off.
Yeah, I was still a little bit of a smartass, but it was just more like.
But it would ruin your day. And you're smiling a lot more than you would have otherwise. So,
well,
congratulations.
Yes. Oh, I also understand that you have some stuff going on. If I come with my stuff on top of your stuff, then it's really going to be bad.
My stuff day.
Yeah, you get to have your stuff day. So, but I'm so happy for the liberty.
Amen.
Even though just a minute ago I thought, well, that's a big hurdle, but I saw it in action today, and it is a powerful devotional now that I understand what it's talking about. But it's still active. Like I think the devotionals are it's just not. I mean, it should be like it should be just this is your gift, just take it. But it's not that simple. It's a gift that's given, but we have to take advantage of that gift. We have to remember that gift. We have to remind ourselves of the gift, the liberty. and not allow the time. Get away from me, tyrant.
Right. Not today, Satan. Not today.
It's an activity. It's actually active.
It's an active. That's wow. Awesome. That's beautiful. I love that.
Huh. Interesting how these things kind of work out.
Right.
It makes us feel so much better.
Doesn't it?
It was a little stressful starting. The light was too bright. There's too much noise coming from over there.
Empty shelves.
Empty shelves. Oh my God. And then you're sitting like the old.
You don't want me to lean on you.
You're so comfy cozy. I was wondering what April was saying. She goes, "You guys look so comfy." And it's because you were lean. I think I was your couch.
Oh, is that why?
I think so.
Oh.
Or just like you can see part of a U-Haul box right there. It's part of the U-Haul. Little advertisement for U-Haul. Oh. Jesus, take the wheel.
Yes.
Yeah. Woo. All right. So we want
to read
bit.
Some of the scripture.
Oh yeah. Oh shoot. Thank you. So Galatians, you do this part.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen.
I don't recall ever hearing that particular.
Oh, Galatians 5 is off the hook. The whole thing is awesome. We think we need to focus. Oh, there we go. And John. Okay, so this originally did not make sense to me until you realize that this is the scripture that Christ is speaking. So it's red letter scripture. It's Jesus speaking in the first person to the Pharisees. And the whole paragraph is about how they thought they were waiting for the Messiah, and yet they didn't believe the Messiah when he's standing in front of them. And then he says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are which testify of me." So the scripture is the prophecy about the arrival of Christ. He says, "But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life." So this is what Oswald was telling us, that the scripture itself is not what gives life. It's the fact that the scripture is the word of God. Christ is the word, and that's what gives us life. It's Christ that gives us life.
It's John 5, 39 and 40.
Exactly.
John 5, 39 and 40.
And the last one was Matthew.
But I'm back to the chosen. It's again, being a visual person, yes. Seeing that and really seeing how difficult it must have been for Jesus, even though he was God, to talk to the people, and how shocking it must have been to the people that he was presenting himself as God on earth, mm-hmm. and said, "I am the way."
Him a devil.
Yeah. And it just makes that even more powerful in seeing the chosen and now being a little bit more of a position to now really think through these things in these words and understanding what was happening at that time. Like, we have the benefit of having the Bible and people talk about us about Jesus Christ all the time. I mean, I grew up, knowing about Jesus. But here you have these Pharisees who've always had all this power, right? And exactly. Now you have this guy in sandals.
Exactly. From Nazareth.
Nazareth, who's probably a little bit dirty from, whatever he was doesn't right? Because he doesn't have a home. Yeah. I'm just imagining he's slightly dirty. Hair's a little messed up.
Yes.
And he's coming, he goes, I'm the way. What? And these guys have all the bling and the robes.
Right.
Right.
And the very ornate outfits.
Oh, just how this kind of changes the whole picture.
And make the analogy to our everyday life, where Oswald's saying, be patient and gentle with people, is that we get mad when people don't accept even one sentence of what we say. Mm. Imagine, and we're just saying, hey, we're offering you the gospel. And people are like, take your gospel and shove it. And we get like crazy. But imagine that he actually was the Christ, and people were saying that to him. So if we could just have an ounce of his patience and his gentleness.
Yep.
How much we could accomplish.
Yeah. Matthew 28:19.
The Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Just want to read the bottom part again. Just this one part right here where it says, but never water down the truth of God.
Yes.
Let it have its way and never apologize for it.
We've talked a lot about that the past couple days.
Yeah. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Not make converts to your own thoughts and opinions.
Exactly.
That's kind of what I was getting in Talking Parents.
She was trying to make you a disciple.
She's giving me her thoughts and opinions. And using the word of God to try to force those thoughts and opinions down my throat.
Not lovely.
Like I said, I couldn't read the whole thing, but.
I would like to introduce you to a girlfriend of mine and messenger. I think you two will really like each other. Let me know if that's okay. Absolutely. Be happy to.
Oh, that'd be cool. Oops, sorry. There we go. Gosh darn it. I just read that and it distracted me. Because I was thinking about a discussion we had the other day that about going to church and then seeing friends.
Is this something about me being naughty again?
No. But you know, sometimes when we're, you just know that, you know, I just want to go sit down and listen to the message, right? You don't want to be somebody's counselor at that particular moment. And but then in the end, it turns out good. I mean, it used to happen all the time with me with dog training and stuff like that.
Like
every day I was dealing with people's problems, right? With their dogs. And it was rarely the dog. Like on occasion it was the dog, but rarely was it the dog. And it was kind of almost always the same stuff. Not always, but quite often it was the same stuff. People just don't understand, you know, what they're doing to their dogs. Like they're causing the anxiety in the dog. They're causing the stress in the dog. And then so I end up dealing with the same stuff. I was so happy to have trainers that I trained that they would go deal with these problems. But every so often, you know, I go, oh, I don't feel like dealing with this right now.
Right.
But after I was done and saw the change in the dog and saw the dog actually have released some of that stress because I helped the owner understand what they were doing to the dog and then to see them go, oh, I actually like this dog again. Like they would have a love-hate relationship. They loved their dog until, you know, they'd go for a walk. They loved their dog until they came home from work after being gone all day because that's when the dog would jump all over them. Like I love my dog, but I hate him when he does X, Y, Z. But in the end, if I can make a difference with what it is they were doing and understanding their dog, it was like, oh, you see the dog's tail wagging. You see the people going, oh my gosh, I love my dog again. I can't believe that's
and
all
they
I
love
needed.
You, right?
Yes. And then I would be like, I'm so happy. I'm
nice today.
I am amazing.
Right.
Right. And so you'd have this dread, but then in the end, you'd have this like, oh, I'm so satisfied that I was able to make a difference through what I was taught or what God gave me or whatever.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But I was just thinking that's what I was thinking when I and Deborah introduced the friends, but I was just thinking about sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
I'm picking it up.
I don't know if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Well, but sometimes... I mean, the interesting thing is that when you belong to a church that you go regularly, me and Andy sit in the same place every week, is that you have to accept it's the Lord's house, and anything that happens to you in that house is by his order. Granted, there are some false teachers, and sometimes there's the enemy comes in, and Pastor Jack talked about that in 2 Peter, Combat Faith, where there is a lot of evilness sometimes that tries to creep into the church. But that aside, knowing that that's not what you're dealing with, for the most part, you know that the Lord is walking you through something. So I have also another friend of mine who is a mentor, and sometimes she just lays into me and I just breathe, you know, I'm just kind of like, you know, just trying to absorb it because I know it's something that the Lord wants me to hear. You know what I mean? And so I just kind of, I breathe through it. One is just like downloading problems onto me,
yes,
and the other is like downloading Bible onto me. And I'm just kind of like, okay. And so when Gia shows up, she's got a guitar on and the music starts, I'm like, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Let me get to a couple of these.
And he's blushing.
Yeah, well, sometimes I do.
Amy,
it's not the dog, right? She knows for sure. Those poor dogs. Yep. That's the other thing is that sometimes I it's almost like I can hear the dogs like
rescue
almost see
me.
They go, can you Can you just take me with you? This idiot is not going to listen to you. They're like,
it's going to go right back to normal.
And you can see the wagon like, they're not listening to you.
They're faking it even while you're here.
Take me with you.
Oh, goodness.
Robert Block, another dog trainer. I was in a client's house and the parents were having a full-on fight, a full-out fight. I'm picking up at all. Yes, I'm not saying that. Anyway.
Anybody in a customer service industry,
yeah.
You know, whatever it is. That's why the Lord's like, be quick to listen and slow to speak.
You know, and that's one of the things I'm so sorry I'm going on this another dog thing really quick here, but it was an interesting thing that I realized once I had other trainers, and sometimes the trainers were responsible for answering the phones. And so somebody called, my dog is blah, blah, blah. I had to be careful not to say the things I'm saying to you in front of the trainers. I had to always have a positive attitude about clients and customers and how much we appreciate them, and that, you know, they were the lifeline to the business and to their paychecks and that kind of stuff. Right. Because they would, if I did, they would have the same attitude as I would, and they wouldn't pick up the phone because they knew when the phone rang, it meant that there was going to be a problem that they were going to have to fix. And so you have to, it's so funny you say that, because you have to train them to think the right way. Right. The phone ringing is actually the sound of cash hitting the cash register. It's not the sound of a problem.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh,
you
sure.
Have to switch it over on them or else they'll stop answering the phone. So I could leave.
Or they'll show up at somebody's house and be like, what do you want? It's you, it's yes. Not the dog.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Well,
I don't know why I just had that revelation.
But make the analogy back to Christ.
Yeah.
Is that he's trying to teach us the same thing. Mm. Is that we show that same, we show that make disciples of all nations. How?
Oh, I thought you were going to say that God rolls his eyes when we start to pray. He goes, oh, here comes in another
no,
prayer.
No, not at all. He's basically the other analogy.
Yes.
He's the boss like you. And he's telling us that are trying to make disciples of people, that call, that voice is mm-hmm. another soul you're drawing closer to me. That's the Great Commission. That's our job. We got to take the complaints. We've got to take the calls. We've got to deal with the problems in hopes of drawing people closer to Christ.
No. Hmm. Yeah. Elise, put that. Yes. That aura on you, that when people, because it never fails, in line at church, it doesn't matter who it is, she'll walk up and they'll say, all right, so I have this ex-boyfriend who's and like they start right in, there's no like
no,
go, oh, by the way, what's your name, like halfway through the conversation. And she'll know everything about the person, and that's so what I do is I drop her off.
He doesn't come back till 9:25, right before worship starts, folks.
I drop Hedy off, and she goes and gets in line because she wants to make sure to get in the front row. Well, I go and park the car because the church is so popular. I got to park
store.
Like way, and maybe I really don't have to park that far, but I do. And then I can saunter.
Right?
I saunter.
Like
right in time where they open the door and let her in. Because there's no talking to her. Because the person that she's standing next to is sharing their entire life story and waiting for her, for her answers and her, advice.
And no idea. Because I, God knows, I don't put on a please speak to me face, but I must have some, you know, something that is like, speak to me.
Oh my God.
Robert's telling us the rest of his story when he goes to a client's house.
Yep.
So I thank them for choosing me to help the dog, not a marital eruption, not the dog's fault. Sometimes I was tempted to take the dog, rescue.
Yes, you got to take the dog's like looking at you. Just take me with you, please. I can't tell you how many times that I was able to identify family problems with what was going on with the dog.
Wow.
Not every time, but there was a few incidents that I can remember that it was not the dog. It was the family situation. One instance was this woman called me and says, I need you to come over. So I go over there and she says, I don't know what it is. My dog hates my my husband's daughter. And every time she comes, he growls at her like that, and I can't get the dog to stop. And it's a little bit of a longer story, but in the end, I finally just said, "Well, how do you feel about your daughter, your stepdaughter?" She goes, "Oh, we hate each other."
Why are you surprised that the dog is growling at her?
I go, "This is your dog. You brought this dog into the marriage." Yeah, right? It's your dog. Yeah. No. That was it.
Yeah.
That's all I had to say. And she goes, and she, like, when I asked her the question, I didn't even have a response. She just says, "Oh, my daughter, my stepdaughter and I don't like."
she needed to pay you however much an hour to come in and tell her that. Oh, sometimes it's like that. Hello, welcome to your life.
Because that happens with women with dogs too. How come when I go for a walk, my dog wants to bite men that are that growls at them? Like they said, I said, "Well, I mean,
do you growl at men?
Do you have an issue with men?" She goes, "Oh yeah, they're assholes." Or, you know, they have. I go, "That's the problem."
Because they
pull on the leash a little bit tighter, or they grip on the leash a little bit tighter. The dog can feel it, and as soon as they feel it, the dog feels like he has to protect. But anyway, so many times you can identify some type of emotional issue that's going on, or something because of the way the dog is acting. And so many times we end up having a talk about that, not necessarily about dog training.
Look at that.
About some issues. So sorry, I don't even know how I got into that. Oh, yeah, just because of the comments with Robert. And he sees it. I'm sure Amy sees it too all the time. We just go, I see what the problem is. The dog won't. I mean, how many times Amy and Robert have you had this where the dog won't let the husband into the bed? I'm telling you, it happens often. Like, and he tries to move the dog. The dog won't let him get into the bed. I can't tell you how many times I've had
a marriage therapist on staff.
Oh my gosh, it happens so often. Like, I can't get the dog. The dog won't let me move him off the bed. She has to take him off the bed, so the husband can sleep in the bed. He goes, "I just sleep."
And that only happens a couple times a week. Sorry, dog's not moving today.
I don't know what this has to do with the emotional.
I don't know.
The liberty. It just came on. This is this is what happens on a nighttime show. All right. Anything back on the devotional?
You have a nighttime show tonight, you know.
So I do. We have a nighttime show.
Oh, right.
Yeah. What time is it? Where's your?
Well, I think in this theme, as Oswald always covers it in his, he says, "But never water down the truth of God. Mm-hmm. Let it have its way and never apologize for it." Wow. That's what we're going to talk about tonight.
Really?
As well as the policing.
Right.
Well, because, right? That's what my portion is in terms of the article.
Yeah.
Can't water down the truth.
Wow. That article's good.
Thank you.
I love that article. That's what caused me to. It is. Well, I like it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
See, and that's the hard part, right? Is standing on the truth of the Lord in love for a lot of Christians means not saying the truth. Mm. And that's, I think, what got us in the state that we're in. Is that everybody thinks that standing on the truth means staying silent. Mm-hmm. But we can't. We can't stay silent. We have to stand on the truth in love, but in spirit and truth. That's what the Lord's calling us to. And if people tell me all the time, especially now that I'm a Muslim, the whole ecumenical movement, which is thinking that we're all worshiping the same God. And I was like, I came out of that false religion. I cannot tell everybody it's the same God. It's like I'm doing them a disservice to tell them that, because it's not the same God. I know that God, and I know the real God, and it's not the same God. And I would be leading them to eternal damnation to lie. And how would I be loving them? How would I become making disciples of all nations if I lied? And the consequence of the lie is you leave them in eternal damnation. You provide no opportunity for salvation because you didn't give them the truth.
I think that's why people like talking to you, because you found a way to tell them the truth and to be honest with them, which is the same thing as telling the truth. But you do it in a way that's loving.
I try.
Because I know that you could do it the other way.
Yes.
But see, I still, I don't know what it is. I mean, if I had a police uniform, I'd tell anybody the truth and tell them to go pound sand. But I'm still a little I think that's why I'm a little fearful of, you know, street preaching, that kind of stuff. I'm still, it's hard for me to do that still. I know I got to get out of that issue. But it's, you're good. Aww, you're good at talking to people, you. And telling people. I'm still, I don't mind doing it to a camera or sharing my weaknesses.
Well, but I mean, that's how you get them, right? Because what did God say to you today?
Oh, yeah. What did God say?
I'm going to pull it up. My child,
God talks to me on Telegram.
Yes. You are on a journey to my great kingdom. That's why I am using your experiences to bring others to me. Tell me about your adventure. When you talk to people about where you've been and how you've changed, that's the greatest gift you have to offer them.
Wow.
That Christ redeemed you and gave you a new life. That's what you're offering. Give up your yoke of stress and craziness and wandering and being lost. Hand your life over to Jesus. He'll forgive your sins and set you free. Oh,
so awesome. Good.
So good. So simple.
What?
So simple.
Yeah, so simple.
For two very complex people.
I know.
Pretty simple for me.
We are crazy complex. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You should see some of the stuff going on.
But yet we managed to have a picnic on our bed.
Yes.
Watch TV.
Oh, can we have picnic tonight?
Yes, we're all right. It's always, it's picnic night.
We're going to, I'll send you pictures of our picnic. You guys will love it. This will be one of our, this is our last picnic weekend.
Yes, tonight, tomorrow. That's it. Two nights of picnic.
All right. Well, let's do it. And to answer Priscilla's question, it'll be about 45 minutes or so because we don't want to.
No, she's asking what time are we doing it?
Yeah, about 45 minutes from now.
Oh, 45 minutes from now, 6:30.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't go much later or else it's past people's bedtime on the East Coast.
Sorry.
Hello, Loretta. Nice to see you.
Hi, Loretta.
Look at that picture. She almost has the same color hair as you. Or is that a?
That's a hat.
Oh, it's a hat.
Well, we look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, we'll see you in about 45 minutes. All right, my friends, thank you for watching. We love you.
God bless.
God bless. And thanks for putting up with us.
Yes. As always.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.